Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 69 of season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Brett Stillo, formerly of a numerous, various MXMs, including, what?
Notorious XM.
Notorious. There you notorious. Go.
Which would be a good movie to do a movie by minute of.
Right. But five days of Banzai, or five minutes of Banzai. There you go.
It felt longer. It felt like 5 years of Banzai. But yes, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension. And 5 minutes of 5 minutes of Trouble, all about Big Trouble in Little China, featuring our good friend Al Leong.
Yes. Yes. So welcome back to the show, Brett.
Thank you.
Sorry for messing up your intro itself, but it works well. It flowed.
No worries. We've been here 4 days in a row, so it's all fine. It's all fine. And yeah, minute 69. Is this the halfway point, or do we have a few more minutes till we get?
No, we've already passed the halfway point. We did pass it this week. There's 132 minutes in this movie, which means that in between Monday and Tuesday, we hit the middle. Sorry.
No problem.
Sorry. I see the disappointment on your face that I didn't mention it. So sorry.
I feel sorry for you. It's all downhill from here.
No, that's not true. I've had this discussion numerous times with people that I can't find any minutes of this movie that are boring to talk about. This is a movie which there's always something to talk about. It's such a fascinating movie, and there's so much going on, and not just the way that I do things by going through the script and, finding little things to talk about or whatever. There's always something to discuss about the way that the characters talk or the way their characters act or what they do and things like that. So minute 69 begins with Al objecting to Dwayne's idea and ends with Al cutting John off. So yesterday we ended things off with Robinson telling Al that they're about to go in. What does it look like? We're about to go in. And Al then responds and goes, "Going in? Man, that's crazy. There could be over 30 hostages in there for all we know." And it's just really funny the way that he says that. He's trying to use logic here. But yeah. Dwayne doesn't care. he really doesn't care. And then he responds by saying, "We don't know shit, pal. If there's hostages, how come nobody's come to us with ransom demands? If there's terrorists in there, where's their list of demands? All we know is that somebody shot your car up. It's probably the same silly son of a bitch you've been talking to on the radio." So, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about on Monday, where Dwayne is the perfect bureaucrat, not caring about anyone else, doing what he needs to do. And he's the perfect. But once again, he has some valid points here. But the problem with his valid points is he doesn't even try and, validate them and see if any of what he thinks is right.
Yeah.
Yes, they have information that there are 30 hostages. Okay. And correct, there are no demands. But just because of all that, I mean, something is going on here.
Yeah. But Dwayne has already made up his mind.
Correct.
That it's not, it's a bunch of kids with firecrackers or something like that.
Okay, let's go with that. It's a bunch of kids with firecrackers, okay? If that's the case, then why are they using an assault? What's the point of assaulting the building?
Well, that'll scare those kids.
Exactly. No, but the idea is that, okay, deal with facts. He's Robinson is saying is that we don't have facts. Okay, but why don't you try and find facts?
Right.
Instead of saying that everything that, no one has told us anything, so we're going to just go and assault the building. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Exactly. You had a fun point. I mean, it is Christmas Eve. He doesn't seem to want to be dealing with a hostage situation. So, yeah, I mean, just call in the heavy artillery, kick the door down, kick ass and take names.
That's right.
And then we're all home. We're all home by midnight.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it a variation on the old line. You know, the troops will be home by Christmas. Well, it is Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. If we can wrap this up in a couple hours, and everybody has the day off tomorrow. So, what cracks me up is it reminds me a little of the Dana Scully character in the X-Files. You know, okay. We're talking, that's a TV series, but you know, every week something weird happens, and then the following episode, you know, Mulder says, you know, there's an alien or a cryptid monster here, and she always does that. Mulder, what are you talking about? It's like, it's probably just some kids with firecrackers, you know. You can't ever convince Scully otherwise. I mean, there is a point here that it's just, you know, creating tension, drama for the actors to, you know, it's simply that, just that. It's creating some tension. And, you know, as we said on Monday, it isolates John McClane even more.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he's not going to get any help from
outside. But maybe that's Robinson's point. That's what he wants to do. You know, he wants to say, okay, I don't really care about what the information you're doing. I'm doing what I know is the right thing to do. I want to end this as quickly as possible. And who cares who this John McClane is, or, you know, who this unknown guy is.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he makes a joke saying it's probably the same silly son of a bitch you've been talking to on the radio.
Right.
Now, up until I started doing research for this movie, I actually always thought that it was John who shot at Al's car. What? But he doesn't.
Ah.
Okay. He throws Marco's body out of the window. Mm-hmm. Marco's body hits the car, and then the car starts moving backwards. Okay. If you look at the angle of the shot of someone shooting an automatic rifle from the building, it cannot be coming from the 30th floor or 32nd floor where John was. Okay. It was coming from a lower floor. And they showed us one of the characters, Alexander, standing there with a gun, you know, looking out the window on maybe the second or third floor. And the script proves that it's Alexander who opens fire on the car. So this line, I always believed, you know, was ironic because it really was John who shot up his car, but it wasn't. So,
well done.
Yeah. So I love that. I love how they do
movie
that.
Forensics. You know. Well done, sir.
Yes. For sure. Isn't that what we're here
Absolutely.
For?
Yeah. It's the we are dusting for prints. And that's fun when you. Because, you know, one thing I love to do, I bet you do, is, you know, is somebody will say, I wish I could think of a specific example, but, you know, oh, they got that wrong. They got that totally wrong. And it's like, no, actually they didn't, because A, B, and C happened. And if you look at the script and, you know, basically what you just did, it's like, no, this is, this makes perfect sense. You do not get a point for an IMDb glitch. That doesn't count.
Yes.
So
that's very true.
So well done.
And no, because I also believe that John wouldn't shoot at him because he wouldn't risk injuring the police officer.
Too risky.
You know. But again, you can't shoot from 30 floors up and be as accurate as he was trying to be.
Formal. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Al responds to Robinson by saying, excuse me, sir, but what about the body that fell out of the window? It's funny that you think fell out of the window, because it was thrown out of the window, but fell out of the window. Okay. And so he, you know, Al brings a good point. You know, they're having a nice debate here between the two of them, you know, for sure. And he goes, well, who knows? It was probably some stockbroker who got depressed. You know, like, what type of answer is that? First of all, they didn't check the body at any point to see you know, what body, who, you know, is this someone dressed in a suit? Is it, you know, and like, you know, wouldn't they have checked what Nakatomi does? Why would he say stockbrokers? I mean, we're not 100% sure what they do in Nakatomi, but they're not working in stocks. You know, they work in bonds.
Yeah.
But, and again, if that's the case, we'll go back to what we said before. You know, if it is a stockbroker who just committed suicide, then why are they assaulting the building?
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Dwayne just really wants to use his SWAT guys. I think so.
And it's great how he's holding the blueprints as he's talking.
That's a nice touch. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a nice touch. You know, this is around, as I recall, this is around the time of Chief Daryl Gates in L.A. And
yes,
it was. His, you know, the surplus U.S. Army armored personnel carrier that was used as a LAPD riot vehicle. And I'm trying to remember if that shows up during the assault, if they have an armored car. I mean,
they do have an armored car here, yes.
But you know, that'll be next week.
Yes.
When hopefully me and my gang will be in Buenos Aires, but that's another story. But Dwayne just wants to play with his hardware. He probably really wants to.
Earning 30%.
Yeah. He just wants to, you know, let's have a good old frontal assault, and we can use the armored car. And then I can have a picture of myself in front of the armored personnel. So,
that's right.
So,
like after you go fishing, you know, you're holding up the fish.
Right. Yeah. So
there you go.
I'll take Dwayne's side. It's like quit interrupting. Let me have my fun here. SWAT attack. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Assault.
And he doesn't even they don't even continue the debate after that. It's just stockbroker who got depressed, so let's do the assault. And then he goes, then we hear someone say, "We're ready for you, chief." And he goes, "All right, light him up. Let's go. All right, hit the lights. Blue unit, go. Yeah. We got approval, chief. Lights on. Down a little." You know, they you know, we see the SWAT team getting ready for the assault. You know, we see the lights going on, and they do a great job of showing the lights go on, and then we see a shot of John who's sitting there in the dark, and you know, his cigarettes are illuminated, so we can then see that he has three cigarettes left, you know, plus the one that's in his that's currently in his mouth, which will be useful later, because at some point we know that there are only two cigarettes in the
pack. Right, and that's a great transition to go from all this external stuff. And again, Jan de Bont, you know, he's playing with lights and flares and, you know, possibly just, you know, using one of the few actual exterior shots and just like, it's like Daryl says, let's light them up. Rather than waiting all night to say that. And then what do we cut to? Three cigarettes. What a great way to, you know, we haven't seen John in a few minutes. What a great way to come back to him. It's like the loneliest cigarettes in the world.
Yeah, completely.
And
they do that great. And then they start their conversation again. And we have John say to Al over the CB, he goes, "Al, you still with me, babe? What's going on? Yo, Al. I'm here, Roy. I'm kind of busy right now. I'll talk to you later. What's wrong? What's going on? I said I'll talk to..." And then it gets cut off because that's the end of the minute. But again, I'm going to bring this up, and I'm sure I'm going to bring this up in the future, and I brought it up in the past. There's something wrong with the fact that this is a party line. You know, for John and Al to be having a conversation like this, and for John asking Al what's going on, you know, it's anyone can be listening besides Argyle. You know, we know that Hans can be listening, and Theo, and even Thornburg. You know, that's where they're getting all this information. You know, so it's not that smart for him to be saying what's going on.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd never thought of that before. That's not a sealed line.
Yes. You know, it's not as if their radios are scrambled, or that they're on a line that no one else can listen to. It's completely open to anyone who wants to listen to it.
Yeah, I would wonder if that's just something I can picture that coming up in meetings, you know, in production meetings, and someone just saying, you know, at some point, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect script.
No, for yeah, sure not. That, again, as you know, and as everyone listening knows, you know, I love this movie, and I'm not trying to point out flaws in order to, you know, say that there's something bad about the movie, something wrong about the movie. It, you know, I just obviously, you know, as someone who loves the movie, I would love for it to have been, you know, tighter. Yeah. You know, and I like to point out little things that we don't really have a clear answer for. I mean, again, the answer to almost every one of these type of questions is that's what the trip called for.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Only in Die Hard 2 did they think to have people use, you know, CBs that have codes on them that you need to punch them in order to be able to talk. You know, at least they got smart.
Yeah, that could be like, you know, it's just something they, you know, in the sequel they thought about, you know, from the first one. Because, yeah, you know, it's as I think I was alluding to, like, you know, we think we've caught a mistake, and, you know, sometimes it's just like, yeah, I know, but we got to keep moving with this. And, you know, because it is like, it's a real loose end, and you could, you know, you could very well, you can hear somebody saying, hey, what if, you know, we add to the complications, that, you know, somebody's listening in on that conversation, but then you see where it's like, no, it's too soon. You know, we can't have identities revealed just yet. So I could see it coming up, and but maybe saying, now we got to keep rolling. So we're just going to pretend that that no one else is listening.
Yes.
But still, that
even though at some points we see people listening in, I mean, we just talked about yesterday that Argyle was able to hear, you know, well, actually he saw it through the TV, but then he turned on the CB.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Cause it brings, you know, if he can hear, who else could hear? And, you know, really, that goes back to, you know, Hans Gruber being kind of a sharp guy would, like, I can't remember. Is Theo also doing communications, or is Theo pretty much just working on cracking in the safe?
He's just trying to crack the safe.
Yeah. So, but yeah, not, yeah, no, I mean, you would think that Hans would be like, since he's talked to Roy, that it's like, he might have one of his guys. All right. I need you to be my ears. If you hear anything, like, scan the channels. But yeah, like I said, no, it's an interesting thing to point out, because I'd never even thought of that. And right. I was like, oh yeah, two-way communication. It's not exactly totally two ways.
Right. It's true. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I have about 69. Just, you know, I didn't know Bruce Willis was in this movie.
Well, we talked about him earlier this week, you know, but we hadn't seen
it. Yeah, it was funny that I think I might have mentioned this Monday, you know, I was just sort of automatically picturing it would be a, you know, there's so much of Bruce Willis in this movie that, you know, no, there's Paul Gleason. It was a little jarring. So it was like, oh, there he is. Okay. It is, you know, it is funny. Prior to this movie, my friends and I did not like Bruce Willis.
Well, Connie, he was in Moonlighting and Blind Dates. You know, that's what he got before this.
Yeah, movie. Yeah. It's interesting. When I was like a teenager, for some reason, you know, this is network TV era, me and my buddies had this, we did not like TV guys. Maybe it was overexposure, but it was the same thing with like Tom Selleck or Don Johnson, because both of those guys, you know, because of the success of their series, would try to make the jump to movies. And we were just, you know, we kind of had this teenage, you know, now, why does that guy think he's so cool?
Right.
So even when we had a hit show with Moonlighting, And yeah, Blind Date, I think that did not do so well at the box office. Nope. But no. So
well, that's because we can't see Bruce Willis in a rom-com.
True. But yeah, I mean, a lot of guys were making that. You know, it's a less now, but you know, you've had some success on a TV series. I mean, yeah, I think John Johnson is a good example of that. He had Miami Vice. That was a super hot show. He really didn't transfer that into. I know he did a couple of movies.
Yeah, that didn't, nothing that threw nothing me. Yeah. And Tom Selleck eventually managed to do it, but he was supposed to be Indiana Jones.
Right.
But in the end, he became Three Men and a Baby. You know, that's what he did.
Yeah.
And I remember he was listening to High Road to China, which was
High Road to China, a favorite of mine back in
the day. I remember seeing that on cable quite often.
Yeah, a fun enough movie. No,
he was also Quigley Down Under with Alan Rickman. There you go.
And that's funny. I mean, like Quigley, I meant to see, and
the Rickman connection. There you go.
Yeah, I could have added that to my sad, pathetic Alan Rickman viewing list. Again, so
wait,
funny.
You've never seen any Harry Potter movies?
That's it. I'm not a Potterist.
Okay.
I mean, and I totally, I have friends, and I don't have kids, and I don't know, I have friends that, no, the books are great, and the movies, you don't have to be a kid to like them, but
books are better. There's no question about that. If you feel like checking it out, start with the books. The books.
And he's Snipe, right?
Snape.
And but he's it's a very Alan Rickman kind of, because he's a evil wizard, but he's not evil necessarily. He's just, he wears a lot of black clothes. He's a goth.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of his thing. Yeah. Yep. So, so anyway, but I mean, Willis is so convincingly good in this. He won us over.
He won everyone over, because they only cast him in this type of role forever.
Pretty much. He kind of,
he found his niche.
absolutely found his niche. This is true. But yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
For here. But do we have another list?
No. Well, first we have a script. We'll talk about the script.
So I forgot about the script. That's okay.
There are a few changes here in just some of the dialogue. So instead of Powell saying, "That's crazy," he goes, "Going in, are you out of your mind?" So I think, Reginald Val Johnson just delivers it better by saying, "Man, that's crazy." So,
yeah.
Then after that, when Robinson responds and says, "For all we know, it's the same. It's that someone who shot up your car, and it could be the same flake you've been talking to on the radio." So it's just flake instead of, the silly son of a bitch. I like the delivery of silly son of a bitch a little better. Then when he asks about the body, Robinson's response is, "Who the hell knows? Maybe he was a stockbroker who looked at the Dow Jones and opted for early retirement." Again, it works better, the delivery in the movie. Then there's a few other points with the SWAT team, which appear in later minutes, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference. And also, the conversation between John and Al is switched around a little bit. Some of tomorrow's lines come before some of today's lines and stuff like that. It's all minor, but whatever. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Holiday Edition, where my guest will give a little story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that happened to them that's somehow related to the holidays. So Brett,
the holiday.
Brett, you got another story for us?
I got another holiday, not as good as my Halloween in Osaka story, but there was a time I appeared on a podcast and I coughed. That's another story. Not a big one, but I was trying desperately to remember if I'd gone to a movie on a holiday, Christmas Day or something like that. And then I remembered, well, of course, Thor's Giving. One of my favorite Thanksgivings was, I can't remember now, but about 5 years ago, my wife and I were stuck at home for Thanksgiving, and we just decided we didn't want to, like, you know, bother our friends, like, oh, we're orphans, we don't have any place to go. So we just thought we were going to go to the we decided to go to the Alamo Draft House in San Francisco, see a matinee of Thor Ragnarok, and have a great, we ordered, I think, $200 worth of food, which they brought to us. We had an amazing pizza and fantastic popcorn, and we just called it Thorsgiving.
Very cool.
And to this day, we talk about Thorsgiving. That's it. That was just one of my most memorable Thanksgivings.
And you didn't make it. You didn't make it an annual tradition.
Nah, because there wasn't another Thor movie the next year. Oh. But you know, I think it was the fact that we could make a pun out of Thor and Thanksgiving, so it became Thorsgiving. We should have had a Viking funeral, maybe. I don't know, but. the next year somebody didn't, you know, we did have a place to go for Thanksgiving, but I guess, you know, the moral is,
so Brett is looking for an invitation next year for, you know, next month for Thanksgiving. Anyone who wants to invite Brett, just make sure you're showing Thor in the background.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know if I'll bring Thor, but I will bring a Norse god. Because I have connections. So, and what Norse god? You just have to invite me. So there you go.
Great story. Thank you very much for that. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah. I'm on the social media. You can find me most likely on Instagram or Facebook. I'm Brett Still. I'm also known as Count Fink. That was my DJ name years ago. You can hear me and my good friend John McLean and Josh Horowitz. We did an awesome little podcast called 5 Minutes of Trouble, all about Big Trouble in Little China. And then we moved on to 5 Minutes of Bonsai, because both of those movies are interestingly set in the same universe approximately. And I might ask you a question about movie universes tomorrow. Ooh. I'll save it tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I'll come back to listen to it.
Okay, excellent. But that's it. I think we're done with Thursday.
So while you're listening to things about, 5 Minutes of Bonsai or 5 Minutes of Trouble, you can go rate and review and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to my show. You can find me very simply by doing a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website. So, Brett, you've already hinted the answer is yes, but you feel like coming back tomorrow to finishing off the week?
I got nothing better to do.
Oh, that actually doesn't sound very good. You know,
yeah, I guess that's sorry. That did. Yeah, no.
You were very enthusiastic about that. You have nothing better to do.
Okay. It came out sounding wrong.
That's all
right. No, I'm
excellent. There you go. That's sweet. Be enthusiastic. All right. So until tomorrow, yippee ki yay.
Yippee ki yo. Yippee ki yo.